Thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast with Eduardo Menjivar. To stay connected with us, visit eduardomenjivar.org.
Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Why did I put 29 to 39? The Bible says this, Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart." Say with me, heart. All of your soul, and all of your mind. Verse 38, this is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as your self. Love your neighbor as yourself. When I was looking for a verse, did you guys turn on the AC now? Because I'm freezing. Just turn it off. Because I can feel that. My hands are cold. I was wondering why my hands were cold. I know my body's not bipolar like that. Go ahead, turn it off. When I was reading this, I said, Lord, okay, I know you want me to talk about friendships, but where do I start? And how do I start? For a while, I used to hear a lot of people say this. I just don't have any friends. I just don't have any true friends. Yeah, but I don't have any friends. And it was like the popular thing to say. You want to know why? Because I remember in that time, I would see that constantly on social media. But I thought about that and I started thinking about this verse. The reason why many people have trouble with friendships, have trouble having real true friends, is because they do not know how to be in relationship with their own selves. The Bible says the second commandment is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. How can you love someone if you have trouble loving yourself? You can't love somebody else until you first love yourself. And that's why there are many relationships. There are many relationships that are toxic. There are many friendships that are toxic because they have not understood that it is important to love yourself first, and then you can love other people. And that's why there's very territorial friendships. That's why there's very insecure friendships, because they don't know and understand how to love themselves. You can't be in relationship with anybody until you can first love yourself. And that takes a lot of seeking God and breaking down a bunch of patterns in your mind and in your heart that have been put there by the devil because of previous experiences and traumas. And you have to heal from that. Until you heal from those things, then you can't be in relationship with anybody else. It's hard for you to have friendships because you don't even know how to be in a friendship with your own self. But when I read scripture, I find out that God made us tribal. God made us to be in relationship with one another. God made us to have friendships. God created us so that we would have a team, so that we would live life with a quote unquote squad. You remember squad goals, team goals, whatever it was. I don't know what it was. That's y'all's generation, not mine. But God created us to be in friendship with one another and to live this life with friends. So when I think about this, I come to find out that many people have trouble relating to other people because they themselves have trouble with their own self. They can't accept themselves for who they are. They can't accept that, oh, I'm just too short. Oh, I'm just too tall. Oh, I'm too skinny. Oh, I'm too fat. Oh, I just don't speak the language. Oh, yo hablo bien mucho mi español. So I can't have friends. So then you're so traumatized about things and about what other people have said that you can't accept yourself. Until you accept who God created you to be, and until you accept the fact that you are perfect in God's eyes, then you will confidently be in a friendship with other people. Then you can confidently be in friendship with others. And that's why there are many girls that only have guy friends. Have you seen that? There's girls that only have guy friends, and there's guys that only have girlfriends. They say, oh, it's just hard for me to go get along with other girls because, you know, they're like so gossipy and everything. And it's just, guys are just different. And guys use the same excuse. It's just hard to be, you know, friends with other guys, man, because, yeah, just guys, they're just, I don't know, man, they're just weird. But girls, like, they're more outgoing and stuff. There's always excuses. And those excuses are cheap excuses because you don't want to face the reality of what you truly deal with in your heart. And so until you heal, then you will be able to have healthy friendships. So my question to everybody is, I'm going to go very quickly. Is that okay? So if you want to write this down, I'm sorry. You might just have to listen to the recording. What are friendships? What are friendships? What are real, true, biblical friendships? Friendships, to have a friend, I guess friendship, is not about having many acquaintances. It's not about how many people you know. It's about having loyal, trustworthy friends. Say with me, loyal and trustworthy. So how do I know that I have good friends? Better yet, how do I know if I am a good friend? How do you know? How can you measure if you're a true friend? It's very easy to talk about other people and you say, man, yeah, they're just, man, they're terrible friends. How about you? How do you know if you are a true friend? So many times we talk about other people so lightly and we forget about our own selves. So how do you measure your friendship? How do you measure that? Number one, you measure it by your loyalty. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There is a friend who sticks closer than what? Than a brother. In other words, that is a best friend. That is a true friend. So how do you know if you're a good friend? Measure your loyalty. Where's your loyalty with your friends? Are you friends with this person because you need something? Are you friends with this person because that person remind me at the end so you can give your testimony. Because they're going to a certain college, or because this person works somewhere, so now you're friends with that person. Where's your loyalty with your friends? Measure your loyalty, because the Bible makes it clear that there is a type of friend that sticks closer than a brother. There are types of friends that are closer than family. And that is true. And the Bible talks about this. Jesus modeled this because Jesus was the ultimate friend who was loyal. And true friendships are loyal in every season. Say with me, true friendships are loyal in every season. Not just in the good times, but in every season. You know, it's what's very interesting is that many times is we are friends with people up until the trust is broken. Am I right or am I wrong? How many friends do you not have anymore because the trust is broken? So you say, oh, no, she broke my trust. No, I can't trust her anymore. And you walk away and you forget about them. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus is the ultimate loyal friend, how many times have you broken trust with Jesus? How many times have you broken trust with the Holy Spirit, yet he's still there and he's still loyal? However, we treat God, we treat the Holy Spirit as if he is someone extra that we only need in certain times of our lives. Imagine if all your friends only viewed you that way. They said, oh, when I need them, I know he's there, so I'll get them. Would you not feel used? Would you feel used? Oh, it's Friday. He got paid. Let me call him up. Man, I know he's going to call me. I know I'm getting paid. I know he's going to call me. And they call you. You feel used. You feel used and abused. How many times have we broken trust with God, and yet he's still there faithfully and loyal? So my question is, what gives us the right to break up friendships and to do away with friendships because of a distrust? And the worst part about it is when somebody breaks trust with you, you know what ends up happening? You start viewing everybody the same way. Stephanie used to be super outgoing and crazy, and now so is Isaac. And Stephanie broke my trust, so you know what? Isaac's the same way. Can't trust them. Nah, I know those kind of people. Have you ever talked to people like that? Nah, I know their type. I know how they are. I know how they are. And so you don't trust them anymore. And what ends up happening is this is exactly where the devil and how the devil wants you to think and how the devil wants you to leave. Why? Because now those friendships that were meant to last a lifetime, that were meant to bring you closer to Jesus, now you're by yourself. And now it's so easier for the devil to come and to eat you alive. The Bible says that he roars around, he walks around the earth like a roaring lion, looking to whom he may devour. You know who he devours? People that walk alone. That's why God created all of us to walk in relationship with one another. That's why God created us to walk in friendship with one another. And because of people's insecurities, they don't allow certain kind of people in their lives. For example, I remember a while back, I was at Bible school, and I remember we were working kind of like this big brother, little brother system. I don't know what it's called. Basically, you're like the quote unquote mentor to these kids. And so I asked the guy, I was like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm going to the park. You know, we're going to go talk and see if I can connect with this young guy. All right, cool. He says, but man, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, what? He's going to invite his other friends. I said, how do you know? He said, because I know him. Because of his insecurity, he will never allow someone to look past a certain point. And so when he pulls up with two of his other friends. He said, what did I tell you? I was like, man, that's so interesting, dude. Like, what are you, like a prophet or what? Then I understood that it was because of their insecurity. And there are so many men are the worst about this. Men, you can see it from a mile away. You want to know why? Because the way that we were created, we like to give off the idea that we have everything under control. I can't let people know that I don't know what the next step is. I can't let people know my insecurities. I can't let people see my errors or my mistakes. Therefore, that's why men are the number one that struggle with having a mentor and somebody to lead them. Not women. Women are like, yes, Jesus. And they just, hey, hold up. You ain't got to put everything out there. It's the opposite. And that's why you'll see more girls that have lifetime friendships than men. And so what I want you to do is analyze yourself. Analyze yourself. What kind of friends do I have? Because the kind of friends that you have say everything you need to know about yourself. Oh, I only have friends that they agree with me. And you know, we walk this path and you know, they're Christians. And you can lie to yourself all day long. But do you have somebody who knows more than you? Because there are friends and there are people that are only friends with others that know less, where they feel superior. You have to be careful with that. You have to be very careful with that. Or do you have friends that you know, man, yeah, they know more than me. I'm not afraid to show my true colors. That's the only way you'll ever grow in life. So number one, measure your loyalty. Write this down or write this in your heart and in your spirit. I cannot require something of people that I am not willing to give. You can't require people to say, man, I need your friendship, you know, like time and attention, but you're not willing to give it. You know, over the years, I've had people ask me time and time again, hey, can you mentor me? I went to New York and some dude heard me preach. He goes, man, I really like the way you preach. I was like, all right, cool. Can you mentor me? And I was like, bro, I don't even know your name. Who are you? Oh, my name. I forgot the dude's name. And he's like, oh, my name's so-and-so. Like, I have this clothing company. Oh, I used to do t-shirts. Oh, see, you can mentor me in that area. And I was like, nah, man, why do you want me to mentor you? Because I like the way you preach and I need to grow in these areas. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. And you know what I say every single time? I probably should stop because there's probably a whole bunch of them. They're like, oh, he's my mentor. But I was like, yeah, okay, that's fine. I was like, here's my number. Text me. Ask me how many times he's texted or reached out. Zero. Because you can't require something of someone that you're not willing to give. You can't. And when we become that way, we become selfish. Yeah, you know, he's always saying this. I had a guy one time talk to me and he said, you know, you always talk about spending time with one another, but you don't spend time with me. I said, when was the last time you called me? Just to, hey, how's it going? Oh, I don't remember. I'm busy. I was like, yeah, I'm busy too. Can you remember the last time I texted you? He's like, no, go look at your text messages. He checked. He goes, oh yeah. I was like, how are you doing? You know what your response was? What was it? Good. What am I supposed to say after that? Okay, great. So you can't require something of someone that you're not willing to give. Number two, how do you know if you're a good friend? Question is, do you speak truth? Do you speak truth in love? Not to offend, but to build people. And you have to be very careful. Because the more you learn, the more you grow. Many people, and this happened to me, I would offend people because I wanted to show people that I knew more. That I was more wise. So I wouldn't speak in love. I would speak out of arrogance. And so ask yourself, do you speak in truth? This is what the Bible says, Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So wounds from a friend can be trusted. Do you know how many times my friends have wounded me? because of what they've said. I haven't liked that. But I know that it's going to be okay. Why? Because I can trust wounds from a friend. Many people are so insecure that when they get wounded by somebody who they call friend, you know what their first step is? They take a step back and say, oh, yeah, no, I got to be careful. Friends, we were meant to live life with friends. We weren't meant to live life with friends that say yes and agree to everything that we say and do. Did you know that? It's part of maturing. Like, I have a friend who hates Donald Trump. I'm like, all right, cool, man. He's like, and I bet you voted for him. Yeah, I did. See, that's what I mean. All right, dude, I still love you. You want to go get some ice cream? Yeah, all right, let's go. That's maturity. Oh, but what about your family? What about you? And it starts going on, and I'm like, you know what, dude? I think you need to go pray. Yeah, you're probably right. But that's maturity. We don't agree in a whole bunch of other things. Like, he loves Cristiano Ronaldo. I don't. I love Messi. That's right. That's why you're a true Christian. So you speak in truth to build people. So I'm going to ask you a question. The friends that you have, do they speak to you in truth? In other words, when you do something that is ungodly, when they see something in your life, do they call you and say, hey, man, I've noticed this. Let me talk to you. Hey, let me take you out for some coffee. Let's talk. Hey, you know what? Come over to the house. We need to talk about this situation. This is what I've seen in your life. Do you have friends like that? If you don't, I would re-examine who my true friends are. Let's keep moving. Why is it important to choose the right friends? Not good friends, but the right friends. I wrote so many points down, so it's kind of hard for me to like really get into it, and it's already 8:40, so I'm going to hurry up. Why is it important to choose the right friends? Not good friends, but the right friends. I'll give you two reasons why. Number one, because they will influence what you become. Not who you become, but what you become. Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. You want to be wise? Walk with wise people. You want to be an idiot? Walk with idiot people. Why do you think that most, when you do research, you can do research on the FBI, profilers. It's so easy for them to pick up what kind of, to profile people, because they all have the same characteristics. If you want to be a wise person, hang out with wise people. You want to be a person that has a great marriage, find somebody to mentor you. Find somebody that is your friend that has a great marriage. You want to learn to be a good friend? Get around people that are good friends. That's what the Bible says. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise. And 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You want to know why many people have weak faith? Because they hang around with people that have weak faith. All their friends, they can't believe for God to heal them of a headache, so therefore they struggle with the same thing. Their friends have weak faith, and they sometimes it's so easy to miss church, and then all of a sudden they're growing cold. Well, then that falls on you too. You start to get influenced by that. The people you surround yourself with, that same spirit is going to come over you. And so that's why it is important for you to learn to choose the correct friends, not just good friends, but the correct friends. And number two, because you will be blessed. The Bible says, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stands in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. In other words, blessed is the person who doesn't sit around and make fun of other people just because their friends make fun of other people. How many friends do you have that it's so easy to sway them into another direction? Very simple. I like red. Well, you know what? I prefer blue. How about we do blue? Okay, yeah, yeah. You know what? You're right. I really didn't like red. I like blue. You have to be careful with those people. Learn to be yourself. Learn to follow what God has for you. You know what? You know, I think we're all just going to graduate, and we're all going to go to, I'm going to say a different college, because I'm really not saying this for anybody in here. And I really feel like people would get offended because of this. But we're just going to graduate, and we're going to, because I know Ariel won't get offended. We're just going to graduate, and we're all going to work at Casey's together. That's what we're going to do. Because somebody decided that that's the plan they wanted for their life, so everybody's going to do the same thing. You have to be careful with those people, and you have to be careful yourself too. Who is in control of your life, and who is the one that leads your life? Jesus, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that the Word of God is a light to my feet. You don't know where to go, start reading the Bible. And the Bible is going to teach you and show you exactly where you're supposed to go. So when you hang around with wise people, you're going to become wise. When you hang around with people that are weak in their faith, you're going to get weak in your faith as well. If you hang out with people who go to the gym, guess what? Sooner or later, you start going to the gym too. You start picking up their habits. And the Bible says that bad company corrupts good character. And you can always tell what kind of friends a person has by who they are. I can already tell. I remember when my sister, thank God she's not here, but when my sister was younger, she started doing her hair like real straight. She has curly hair, if you didn't know, like super curly hair. But and now it's all burnt because of all those years. Like she would just, you know, straighten it and straighten it and straighten it. And so then I saw her one time taking a picture like this. And I was like, oh, I know what kind of friend she has. And I said, do all your friends take pictures like that? She goes, why? I was like, I bet all your friends have straight hair and they have that weird haircut because it was like bangs was in. They all have that weird haircut and they all do the duck lips when they take pictures. She's like, stop being so judgmental. I said, man, let me see your phone. I grabbed her phone. All of them, 100% of them. Because you can tell what kind of friends they have. And so if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. You want to be godly? Walk with the godly. Can you say amen? Amen. So I want to finish this very quickly. There's so much more that I could go into, but I want to give you five things that real friends never do to each other. And then we'll close out with six types of friends that are not friends at all. So I wrote these down. We'll probably make like an Instagram post so you guys can save it or whatever and share it. Five things that real friends never do to each other. Number one, lie and deceive. A real friend looks out for the interest of others. A real friend does not lie, does not deceive. They do it to protect. They don't do that to protect their friendship. And you have to be very careful with those people. Oh, I did this just because, and they'll come up with the reason. The reason many times it sounds like very good, but it's not. It's what the Bible says in Ephesians. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. A person that lies and deceives is a person that hurts everybody who's involved, the whole circle of friends. You hurt everybody. And God did not call us to do that. How many times have you talked to people and they're like, I don't know, I just feel like they're just like, you know, just kind of weird. Like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I just feel like that too. No, get your feelings in check first. Before you speak about somebody else, before you speak about your own friends, get your feelings in check first. And so I guess Corelli is going through something because she's the only one that said amen. She said that with a passion. So with lies and deceit, I don't know. They're just like really weird. I can tell you, I'm not stupid, obviously, because there are, and this happens a lot with girls. There's a lot of like bickering within girls. And a lot of times it's because they look like they have money. So, you will automatically assume. And you know what assuming does? It makes an ASS out of you and me. Yeah. That's what it does. In other words, you sin when you assume things about other people. Because you know what that is? That's called judging. What does the Bible say about judging? You know it. Because even people who are not Christians know it. You have to be very careful when you assume things. Don't let lie and deceit enter your heart because you end up hurting people. Number two, five things real friends never do to each other is spread rumors. If you talk about someone else, you have to understand this. Someone else is probably talking about you. So you know what I do? I don't talk about other people. I'm like, if I don't talk about other people, in my mind, I'm like, nobody else is talking about me. I know they are because I'm not stupid, but I could care less. I don't talk about people, so I have nothing to worry about. Can I ask you a question? Yeah, what's up? Is it true that you said, and I don't have to be like, oh, that I said what? Because I don't. Why talk about bad about people? If you've ever had a friend, I used to have friends like this, and I got rid of them, obviously. But they would come to me and say, hey, so-and-so said this about you. So-and-so said this and this and this and this and this. And I remember thinking to myself, why are people so comfortable in saying and spreading lies and rumors to this person who calls himself my friend? You know, somebody wouldn't go to Karen and spread a lie or a rumor about me, because obviously we're engaged, right? So like, they're like, okay, like you guys didn't know. Surprise. So, but who do you think they would go to? Somebody who they don't consider my friend. But if we were engaged and there was people going to her constantly spreading lies and rumors and a bunch of things about me, I would ask myself this one question, and you should probably ask yourself this one question too. Why do they feel so comfortable coming to you saying these things? Why? Why would they feel so comfortable? You want to know why? Then I would question her loyalty. Because, and I'm not saying friends hide and all these other things. No, you have to be careful with those things. Because there are friends that call themselves friends that are not true friends. This message is going somewhere completely different. But anyways, let me go ahead and advance. Number three, five things real friends never do to each other. Number three, be jealous. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love does not envy, it is not jealous. Be careful with people around you in your circle of friends that get jealous. Why did you leave after church? We couldn't find you. Oh, because I saw you talking to her over there, and I thought we were going to go out to eat. Bye. You got to be careful with those things. You should be the happiest person that your friends know. And your friends should know that when you have a victory, like, man, I know that person's going to celebrate with me. Celebrate your friends' victories. Like, for example, like, I have friends that I know that I can call and they're going to scream over the phone because they love to celebrate with me. I know those are true friends. I know that if I don't call, for example, Johnny from Brazil, he's been calling me like this whole week, and I'm like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. You know what? He doesn't get upset because I talked to Justin before I called him back. Hey, man, why are you calling me back? Why are you calling Justin first before me? You know how stupid that would sound between two grown men? If you don't fix that now at a young age, that's what you're going to look like when you're older. Mira esas viejas como están celosas. Because you never fixed it at 15, 16, 17 years of age. So real friends, they're not jealous of each other. Number four, they don't discourage. Now, what does discourage mean? It means simply to take away courage. That's all it means, to discourage someone. Do you discourage your friends, or do you have people that discourage you? Man, I really want to go to church. ¿Para qué, hombre? Allá vas a ir con los de la Filadelfia. ¿Para qué, hombre? They're weird. They're over there speaking in tongues. They're weird. They talk about, you know, healing people and whatnot. Discouragement. Don't get rid of people who discourage you from getting closer to God. Number five, real friends never do this to each other. They never give up on each other. Jesus was the ultimate example of this. He never gave up on his disciples, even though his disciples left him the day he was crucified. And number six, lead you away from Christ, which that's a whole nother message. But if you have friends that say, man, why are you going to that church for? Man, you should get rid of those people. Get rid of people who lead you away from Christ. There are not just people that lead you away from Christ, but there are things that lead you away from Christ. And I'll finish with this very quickly. Six types of friends that are not friends at all. Number one, the backstabber. Say with me, the backstabber. The backstabber is not somebody who betrayed your trust. No, the backstabber is someone who acts a certain way in front of you, and then when you're gone, acts a different way. There are many people like that, because there are people that struggle with insecurities, with a bunch of other things. And so they act a certain way when certain people are around. Like, for example, I know people act a certain way when I'm around. They're like super spiritual. Like, yes, whatever you need, I'm here to serve. And then I leave. Hey, do you think you could help with that? No, I'm sorry, I don't have time. But then I show up like, oh, yeah, no, of course. Yeah, whatever you need. Backstabber. You got to be careful with those people. Be careful with those kinds of friends. And number two, the user. I didn't know what to call this, but the user. User kind of sounds like you're a heroin addict. But no, that's not what I mean. The user. They look for temporary and personal gain. That's what they look for. Like, in other words, they're lonely. Hey, what are you doing? Man, I ain't talked to you in like 30 days. 31 would have been 31 if you didn't call me today. What are you doing? Nothing. You want to go get some coffee? And it's weird, right? It's like, man, I haven't talked to you in a long time. Actually, I've never talked to you. Okay, well, what's wrong? And the whole time you're sitting there like, what are you going to tell me? Nothing. They were just lonely and they needed company. That's the user. They use people for their personal gain. And you'll see this a lot, which is really funny. Well, maybe it's not really funny. Maybe I shouldn't be as heartless. But they use people and then they toss them like a dirty rag. See or no? It's like, I thought you guys were best friends. No, not really. The user. You use them until you got to a place and then you got rid of them. You say, you know what? I don't need you anymore. Be careful with those kind of people. Number three, the control freak. They're not really your friends. The control freak. They don't compromise at all. You're only going to do, I wrote this down. You're only going and doing what this person wants you to do. And your opinion never matters because they're a control freak. They need to be in control. They need to feel like they're in control. Where are you? Why aren't you here? Like, for example, like I consider Oscar a friend. And so last week I was like, hey, man, you going to church? And so he's a volunteer. He doesn't get paid. He's like, nah, not today. Well, guess what? I was streaming and I was like, all right, cool, man. I'll see you later at church. If I was a control freak, why not? Don't you know that I'm about to go live at 4 o'clock? I need an extra person. I was like, all right, cool, bro. I'll see you later. Hey, I called Alan. Hey, Alan, are you free? You busy? You mind helping me out? He's like, yeah, of course. I was like, I'll get you some food. Oh, I'm there, bro. And so he came. And so he helped me out. I saw Oscar. Oh, hey, man, what's up? Because I'm not a control freak. Be careful with those kinds of people. Control freaks are probably like one of the weirdest ones to be around. And then number four, the manipulator. I wish I could go in a little bit more in depth with this, but I can't because of time. People who are manipulative are not really your friends. You have to be careful with that. The manipulative people, they don't, those kind of people, if you don't do what they want you to do, they get upset with you. They get very upset. And so what they end up doing is they end up finding a way to make you feel bad, to make you feel less until you do what they want you to do. For example, I've heard this in ministry all my life from parents of youth. Pero eso se va a ver muy mal. That's going to look really bad on you. Do you think I care? Like, people are already talking bad. Do you think I really care that they're going to say, oh, man, he's got ripped jeans on? I used to wear ripped jeans. I remember one time I showed up and I had a mohawk. That's when mohawks ran. Don't ask me about it. Terrible decision ever. So I show up and I have a mohawk and I'm like, man, this is cool. I show up to play piano. And then a person comes up to me. He goes, hermano, ¿qué corte de pelo trae? And I was like, oh, it's a mohawk. And then this is what he said. He goes, you don't think that's going to look bad on you, on your father, because he's the pastor? I was like, this Jezebel spirit over here, man. That's exactly what a Jezebel spirit is. So be careful with that. Be careful. When I was younger, people would joke around with the Jezebel spirit, like, ah, eso es una Jezabel. I'm like, bro, you got to be careful with that stuff, because the Jezebel spirit is a manipulative spirit. And so this guy said, well, your father's the pastor, and you have to watch out for his well-being, too. You can't be up here like this. And then I ended up cutting it. And then he was like, see, now you look like a real man. Te pareces como hombrecito. I was like, bro, I'm not gay. I don't struggle with that stuff. And then I found out this guy had a manipulative spirit. And the religious spirit is very manipulative. And they'll always come up with, what is that going to look like? And what are people going to say? Doesn't matter. What's God going to say? That's what ultimately matters. The manipulator is very subtle. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget this. They'll make you do things you never thought that you would do, all for their selfish desires. You have to be careful with that. This is the spirit of Jezebel. And the Bible says manipulation is a form of witchcraft. In other words, people who have a spirit of manipulation, they got that witchcraft spirit in them. They probably don't know it. And so don't go around saying, hey, man, you're a witch, you're a witch, you're... No. They have the spirit of witchcraft in them, and they just don't realize it. And so most of these people will make you feel bad. When I preach, I try not to make people feel bad. And if people feel bad, I want it to be the word and the spirit of God, not me. I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, guys, pay attention, smile, because if not, you know, that's a reflection that the Holy Spirit isn't in you. And if the Holy Spirit isn't in you, you're not going to heaven, so you need to smile. That's being manipulative. So be careful with those. And I'll finish with these two. Oh, this is what the Bible says. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words causes ruin. That's what a manipulator does with its words. And then number five and number six. Number five, the bum. Couldn't think of another word, so I just wrote the bum. And this kind of friend always wants you to provide for their every need. Hey, man, can I borrow your car? Hey, man, can I borrow your clothes? Hey, do you mind if I borrow 10 bucks? I'll get you back on the first. All right. And that's been like $100 ago. You have to be careful with those people because they're always asking and asking and they never give. They are only there to receive, to take. And you have to be careful with those kinds of people. And number six, the complainer. The complainer I see this in almost every person in this generation, especially the women. Why? Because it's become so normal to complain. You have to be careful with people that complain, because complainers can never be pleased. Never. You can never please them. They can never be pleased. They're always negative, and they will never grow in God because they can never see the good things about God. Why do you think most people that are upset, I don't want to say, like, I don't want to, like, affiliate them with like, a political party, but most Democrats, they're like that. Everything's just going terrible when Republicans are in office. When Democrats are in office, everybody who's a Republican, they're like, oh my gosh, everything's going terrible. So they only see the negative things. You want me to tell you the great thing about when Joe Biden was in office? You want to know? Is that I didn't die. That's it. I'm thankful for that. I didn't complain. Oh my gosh, look at these eggs. Oh my gosh, God, thank you, because you're providing. Everybody else is complaining, but I thank you, because while everybody else is complaining, I'm receiving the blessing. So look for people like that. People that complain, get rid of them. People that manipulate, people that take and never give. Those kind of people, get rid of those people and learn to choose the right and correct friends. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Round of applause for the Lord. And
thank you for listening to the Wednesday Night Podcast. If you want to help us take the gospel to this generation, consider becoming a partner at eduardomenjivar.org. See you next time.